Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, Creator and Sustainer of all things. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi anbiya'illahi, Nabiyyina Muhammad. And may Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to the most noble of all of the prophets of Allah, our Prophet Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walahu, and likewise all of his family, companions, and those with true religious loyalty to him. Amma ba'd, as for what follows, then on this evening preceding the 27th day of the month of Safar in the year 1438, we come together here at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal in the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with our brothers in Florida through the Tarbiyah Initiative of South Florida. We come together to return to our study of the great book by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab, rahimahullah. That book is called Al-Usul al-Thalatha, The Three Fundamental Principles. And we are studying that book in its Arabic text, in its Arabic, original Arabic form, with the explanation of the great scholar of Islam, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala. In that widespread and widely available book, we are on page number 87 at the very bottom, after having discussed the first three ways that we are required to believe in Allah, and that is that we believe in Allah's existence firstly, and then his rububiyyah, or his descriptions as the Lord, Creator, Sustainer, Provider, Bringer of life and death to the creation. And then thirdly was Allah's exclusive right to be worshipped alone, Tawheedul Ibadah, or Tawheedul Uluhiyyah. And now we look at the fourth of those four ways we believe in Allah, and that is to believe in Allah through his names and attributes. At the bottom of page number 87, the explainer of the text, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala, said, Al-Rabi'u, the fourth matter, Al-Imanu bi-asma'ihi wa sifatihi, to believe, to have faith, or the Iman in his names and attributes. Ay, ithbatu ma athbatahu Allahu linafsihi fi kitabihi. And that is to affirm what Allah has affirmed for himself in his book, أو سُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, or what Allah has affirmed in the sunnah of his messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. And right there you should understand the sunnah of the messenger of Allah, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, is revelation from Allah, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has said, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak from his own desires. It is but revelation that has been revealed to him. It is but wahi, revelation meaning from Allah, that has been revealed to him. مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ عَلَى الْوَجْهِ اللَّائِقِ بِهِ. That is to believe in Allah Ta'ala as he's affirmed for himself attributes and names in his book and in the sunnah of his messenger. عَلَى الْوَجْهِ اللَّائِقِ بِهِ, as is befitting to him. Those names and those attributes in light of his majesty and his perfection, his greatness, his unrivaled beauty and perfection in all names and attributes. مِنْ غَيْرِ تَحْرِيفٍ, without making tahrif. Tahrif is the term that is used to refer to twisting the meanings, altering the meanings. Tahrif can be tahrif al-ma'ani. It can be twisting the meanings. It can be tahrif al-nusus as well. It can be twisting and altering the wordings as well of that which is established in the book and the sunnah. So it is to pervert or to alter the meanings or wordings of the attributes of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا تَعْطِيل, and without any ta'atil, and without any rejection, any blanket denial or rejection of any of Allah's names or attributes authentically established in the sunnah or found in textual evidences in the book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وَلَا تَكْيِيف, and without asking how, without seeking the details of how those attributes are. وَلَا تَمْثِيل, and not considering them to be similar to the creation or matching the attributes of the creation. Allahu Ta'ala, Allah the Most High says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. And to Allah belong the most beautiful names, so call upon Him using them. وَذَرُ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And abandon those who commit ilhad, abandon those who commit deviation in various forms regarding His names, the names of Allah, and they shall be recompensed for what they used to do. That's the 180th verse of Surah Al-A'raf. وَقَالَ, and Allah has also said, وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And to Him belongs the highest example of all things in the heavens and on earth. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And He is the Almighty and the All-Wise. From Surah Ar-Rum, the 27th verse. وَقَالَ, and Allah has said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like Him, and He is the All-Hearing, the All-Seeing. From Surah Ash-Shura, the 11th verse. وَقَدْ ضَلَّ فِي هَذَا الْأَمْرِ طَائِفَتَانِ. There are two groups of people that have gone astray as it relates to these issues. The first group that he names, the first extreme in terms of denial and not accepting the names, versus the other extreme of accepting them and then understanding them to be something that is not befitting to Allah. The first group are called the Mu'attila, those who deny and reject the attributes of Allah Ta'ala. الَّذِينَ أَنْكَرُوا الْأَسْمَاءَ وَالصِّفَاتِ. Those who reject the names and the attributes. أَوْ بَعْضَهَا, or some of them. There are some groups like the Ash'aris. They don't reject all of the attributes of Allah, but most of them. بَعْضَهَا, some of them. زَاعِمِينَ أَنَّ إِثْبَاتَهَا يَسْتَلْزِمُ التَّشْبِيهِ. And they did that because they assumed that if they were to affirm the attributes of Allah, that would require affirming that Allah resembles His creation. That would require tashbih or tamthil, a synonym for tamthil. That they would have to believe in Allah as one who holds like human attributes. أي تشبيه الله تعالى بخلقه. Thinking Allah to resemble His creation, and Allah is the Most High. وَهَذَا الزَّعْمُ بَاطِلٌ لِوُجُوهٍ. And this assumption is sheer falsehood from a number of angles. مِنْهَا, from those angles. الْأَوَّلُ, the first angle. أَنَّهُ يَسْتَلْزِمُ لَوَازِمَ بَاطِلَةً. That it includes some required conclusions that would come along with it that are sheer falsehood. And from this angle of thinking, you understand that if someone tells you a principle, he gives you a qa'ida, a foundational point or principle, you know the falsehood of the principle by the falsehood of what it leads you to when you apply it to things. If you apply the principle as it's meant to be applied, and everything comes out false and rejected and unacceptable, then you know that that principle is a principle of falsehood. So here the Shaykh says, أَنَّهُ يَسْتَلْزِمُ لَوَازِمَ بَاطِلَةً. That this basis, this foundation to reject the attributes of Allah Ta'ala because you assume them to be human and similar to humans, this requires you to believe some very false and futile things. كَتَنَاقُضِ فِي كَلَامِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ. One of those things that you would have to believe in if you held this position would be that there is contradiction within the words of Allah, the Glorified and Most High. وَذَلِكَ, and that's found, أن الله تعالى أثبت لنفسه الأسماء والصفات. That Allah, the Most High, has affirmed for Himself names and attributes. ونفى أن يكون كمثله شيء. And He negated that anything could be similar to Him. ولو كان إثباتها يستلزم التشبيه لزم التناقض في كلام الله. And so if affirming the attributes that Allah has mentioned required us to believe in them as human-like attributes, then that would mean that there is a contradiction in the words of Allah Ta'ala, as He has told us about these attributes, And he has also told us that there is nothing like him. وَتَكْذِيبُ بَعْضِهِ بَعْضًا. And this requires us to think as well. This position would require one to believe that some parts of the Qur'an reject other parts. You have to believe in only part of the book because other parts are interfering and contradicting. الثاني. The second way you can identify the falsehood of the beliefs of the Mu'attila who deny the attributes of Allah, thinking them to be similar to human beings, أنه لا يلزم من اتفاق الشيئين في اسم أو صفة أن يكونا متماثلين. It is not required logically at all when two things share either a name or an attribute. It's not required in the created realm that we can witness. It's not a must that they actually be identical or similar even. Examples. فَأَنْتَ تَرَى شَخْصَيْنِ يَتَّفِقَانِ فِي أَنَّ كُلًّا مِّنْهُمَا إِنسَانٌ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ مُتَكَلِّمٌ. For example, you can see two people. Both of them are similar in that each one of them is a human being who can see, hear, and speak. Two human beings, that both of them are سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ and متكلم. They see, they hear, and they speak. ولا يلزم من ذلك أن يتماثل في المعاني الإنسانية. That doesn't require them that they are identical or similar to each other as it relates to humanistic meanings, emotions, and all kinds of things. والسمع والبصر والكلام in the use of their hearing and their eyesight and their speech. وترى الحيوانات لَهَا أَيْدٍ وَأَرْجُلٌ وَأَعْيُونٌ. And you see as well animals that have hands, legs, eyes. وَلَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ اتِّفَاقِهَا هَذَا. And them all having these attributes, shared attributes in name, that they have hands and feet and eyes, that doesn't require أن تكون أَيْدِيهَا وَأَرْجُلُهَا وَأَعْيُونُهَا مُتَمَاثِلَةً. That doesn't require you to think that their eyes, their legs, their hands are the same. Rather, there's a great amount of difference in those attributes. For example, real quick here to add to what the Shaykh is saying. A spider has eyesight, and a hawk has eyesight, and an owl has eyesight, and a dolphin has eyesight. Add to that, a bat has eyesight. Add to that, a horse, throw in a horse too, and a horse has eyesight. They have eyes. Are their eyes similar? Some of them, you might say the eagle, the owl, they might have eyes that look somewhat similar. Some of them. But the horse, eyes on sides of the head. The horse has eyes on two sides of his head. From the benefit of that in the beautiful creation of Allah is the grazing animals like deer, like horses, like elk, like antelope, these kind of things. They're hunted, they're prey all the time. They need to see everything. So Allah Ta'ala gave them eyes on two opposite sides of their heads. Can you imagine the range of vision they have? Our range of vision is limited because we have two eyes right in the front of our face. Imagine two eyes on the sides of your head. One eye sees to the right, the other eye sees to the left. And the brain processes that information and gives you the ability to interact with your surroundings. So they have this vision. Notice the lion, which is the hunter, has two eyes in the front. But the horse and these hunted animals, they have eyes that are basically, you know, on very thin shaped heads and on the sides, like fish as well. Fish have eyes on the sides of their heads. These give them an entirely different perspective to the environment around them. Different abilities and strengths. It's well known, the hawk, the eagle, these birds that fly up in the sky maybe half a mile up. And they can spot the tiny movement of a mouse or an insect down on the ground. That's why they say he has eyes like a hawk or eagle vision and things like that. Because they're flying high like that and they can see the tiniest little movements. And it's been tested scientifically. They can actually see with that amazing clarity. And they begin to descend to come down and get their prey from very high reaches in the sky, subhanAllah. Then you have the spider that may have 10 or 12 eyes on his head. It's obviously his sight is different than the others that have been mentioned. The owl has eyeballs and eyes with lids and everything that are similar to the others that we've mentioned. Yet they see at night. Their eyes equip them to see at night, and they don't do so well seeing in the daytime. The bat has eyes, and it said the bat is blind, and so-and-so is as blind as a bat. But they have eyesight, which is assisted by their screeches and their hearing. So they use other faculties to compensate for the weakness of the eyes themselves, but they have an ability to detect the objects around them and to move in accordance to where they are and things like that. So eyesight throughout the creation is extremely different. We have some animals that have many eyes. Some animals have eyelids, and some animals just have slits with no eyelids. Some animals have eyebrows and hair around the eyes to protect the eyes. All kinds of variation within the creation of Allah. So if when I say to you, the animal has an eye, and since I left the word animal wide open, you really have no idea that eye is a big eye, a small eye. This brings to mind that when the companions found that whale, they found a beached whale one time on a journey when they had no food and they had run out of provisions. And they said the eye cavity was so large that 13 men could sit in it. The eye cavity was so large that 13 men could sit in the eye cavity. Allahu Akbar. So the eye, the whole point of an eye, the eye within the creation is of such vast variety and differing. Then the Shaykh makes the conclusion now. Keeping these ideas in mind, listen to the conclusion of the Shaykh. فَإِذَا ظَهَرَ تَبَايُنُ بَيْنَ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ So if the variety, the huge variety and difference between the attributes of the creation, attributes that share the same name, like eyes, if that becomes clear, فِيمَا تَتَّفِقُ فِيهِ مِنْ أَسْمَاءٍ أَوْ صِفَاتٍ With regards to issues that they share the name of that attribute, فَتَبَايُنُ بَيْنَ الْخَالِقِ وَالْمَخْلُوقِ أَبْيَنُ وَأَعْظَمُ Then the difference that must exist between the attribute of the creation and the attribute of the Creator must be a greater or more obviously distinct and greater difference. One is the majestic and perfect Creator. The other is the deficient and needy creation. So we have eyes and Allah Ta'ala has eyes. Does that require us to believe that Allah has human-like attributes? No way whatsoever. We can name things that we can see and study that have eyes, and in no way do we assume that they have human-like eyes or eyesight. A spider does not have human-like eyes. A whale, a dolphin, they don't have human-like eyes. But we affirm for them eyes. Yet the distinction, the difference between our eyes and their eyes is indeed a great difference. The Shaykh goes on and he says, "Ataifa athaniya." The second group, in opposition to the first group, those who deny the attributes. Now there are people who affirm attributes, but they deviate another way. Who are they? They're the mushabbiha, those who consider Allah's attributes to be human-like, or to be like some of His creation. أَلَّذِينَ أَثْبَتُوا الْأَسْمَاءَ وَالصِّفَاتِ مَعَ تَشْبِيهِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِخَلْقِهِ Those who affirm Allah's names and attributes in a way that they consider them to be similar to the creation. زَعِمِينَ أَنَّ هَذَا مُقْتَضَى دِلَالَةِ النُّسُوسِ Thinking this to be that which is proven by the textual evidences. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُخَاطِبُ الْعِبَادَ بِمَا يَفْهَمُونَ Because Allah the Most High addresses His servants with what they understand. وَهَذَا الزَّعْمُ بَاطِلٌ لِوُجُوهٍ Minha, and so this assumption is falsehood, it's vain, it's rejected from a number of angles. From them, he mentions two. The first angle, Al-awwalu, anna mushabahata Allah ta'ala li khalqihi amrun batil yubtiluhu al-aqlu wash-shar'u. That thinking Allah, assuming that Allah resembles His creation, is an issue or an understanding that is pure, sheer falsehood, that is understood to be falsehood through the use of one's intellect and through the textual evidences. وَلَا يُمْكِنُ أَن يَكُونَ مُقْتَضَى نُسُوسِ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ أَمْرًا بَاطِلًا It's not possible that the intended meanings of the book and the sunnah, the texts of the book and the sunnah, produce meanings of falsehood. That is impossible. الثاني أن الله تعالى خاطب العباد بِمَا يَفْهَمُونَ مِنْ حَيْثُ أصل المعنى. That Allah the Most High addresses the servants with what they understand as it relates to the basic concept of the meanings. أَمَّا الْحَقِيقَ As for the exact realities, وَالْكُنْهُ And the specific meanings, الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ الْمَعْنَى That which, that meaning, that general meaning that we understand in a general way, the specifics that it is upon, فَهُوَ مِمَّا اسْتَأْثَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِعِلْمِهِ They are matters that Allah has kept as knowledge to Himself. فِيمَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِذَاتِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ As it relates to the reality of Himself and His attributes. فَإِذَا أَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ لِنَفْسِهِ أَنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ So when Allah affirms for Himself that He is all hearing, that He has the attribute of hearing, فَإِنَّ السَّمْعَ مَعْلُومٌ Then we know that hearing is something we know what that idea is. The general concept of hearing is ma'lum. We know what that is. مِنْ حَيْثُ أَصْلِ الْمَعْنَى As it relates to the basic concept of hearing. وَهُوَ إِدْرَاكُ الْأَصْوَاتِ It is to encompass the spoken sounds or the sounds that are made. لَكِنَّ حَقِيقَةَ ذَلِكَ However, the reality of that, the specific and detailed reality of that, بِالنِّسْبَةِ إِلَىٰ سَمْعِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى As it relates to the hearing of Allah, the Most High, غَيْرُ مَعْلُومَ That is not known to us. The specific, detailed, and the exact reality of Allah's hearing is not known to us. لِأَنَّ حَقِيقَةَ السَّمْعِ تَتَبَيَّنُ حَتَّى فِي الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ Because the realities, the exact realities of faculties of hearing, that is something that has a large degree of variance or variation even within the creation. فَتَبَايُنُ فِيهَا بَيْنَ الْخَالِقِ وَالْمَخْلُوقِ أَبْيَنُ وَأَعْظَمُ So if that's the case, then the difference between the creation, they have different kinds of hearing. The specific details of that attribute of hearing is much different in some animals versus other animals. Since that's the case, then the Creator and His hearing is going to have a bigger difference and more obvious and clear distinction between His hearing and the hearing of His creation. Having said that, I'll introduce to you now some animals as it relates to their hearing. I'd like you to think about the hearing of some of the animals. The dog, the bat, the elephant and his large ears. They say elephants have a great capacity to hear. Al-hasharat, insects. Think about the hearing of insects. And al-asmak, and the fish, their hearing is very different because it's underwater, yet they hear and they react to sounds. All of these animals, insects and life forms, they have hearing. All of them are sami'an. They're all hearing. But which of their hearing is similar in terms of the details of the hearing? They hear different wavelengths. They hear even in different circumstances, above water or below water. The shapes and the actual technical details of the tools on their bodies that they use for hearing are different. And I'll bring to you now something very interesting. There's something called a gardener's frog. A very rare animal. A tiny frog. It has an inner ear. It has an inner ear inside of its head, but it has no apparatus connecting it to the outside of its head. It has no ear hole or ear. So it has an ear bone and an apparatus for hearing under the surface of the skin, but nothing connecting that to the surface. Not even a hole. Nothing. How does it hear? It opens its mouth. It hears through its mouth. You can look it up. There's a frog. It's called a gardener's frog, like a gardener's snake. There's a gardener's frog, a tiny frog, and it has been scientifically proven that he opens his mouth to hear the croaking and the sounds of the other frogs to communicate with them. He can detect the sounds of what he wants to hear by opening his mouth, and the waves of the sound come in through his throat and they somehow reach into his body to the place where his inner ear is that he can hear through. On the bottom of page 89, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala stated, وَإِذَا أَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْ نَفْسِهِ When Allah, the Most High, has informed about Himself, أَنَّهُ اسْتَوَى عَلَى عَرْشِهِ, that he has ascended above his throne. فَإِنَّ الْاِسْتِوَاءَ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَصْلِ الْمَعْنَى مَعْلُومٌ. The idea of ascending above something, rising above something, in fact, a throne, right? You think of people going up on the throne, you think of them sitting. But if you were to think of ascending over top of a riding beast and settling on it, you think of a different kind of movement. This is all istiwa, ascending above something. Within the creation, there are different ways that people rise up above something. Thus, the difference that exists between Allah's istiwa and the istiwa of the created beings, there must be even a greater difference, one that we cannot understand the reality of. So we say in general, the idea of rising, ascending above the throne, ascending over the throne, that's known to us, that general idea. لكن حقيقة الاستواء التي هو عليه غير معلومة. As for the specific way that Allah has ascended above His throne, then that is not known to us. بالنسبة إلى استواء الله على عرشه, as it relates to Allah's ascension above His throne. لأن حقيقة الاستواء تتباين في حق المخلوق. That is because the reality of one going above something within the creation is something that we can see, and there is much differing in that. فليس الاستواء على كرسي مستقر كالاستواء على رحل بعير صعب نفور. The man going over a chair, sitting on a chair, it's called istiwa in the Arabic language. It's not like a man mounting a riding beast that is difficult on its way, moving and running away, this kind of thing. So the action of getting above that thing is different in both cases amongst the creation with what we can see. فَإِذَا تَبَايَنَتْ فِي حَقِّ الْمَخْلُوقِ, then if these matters that are called istiwa, to ascend above something, to mount something, and so on, if these matters are different within the creation, في حق المخلوق, فتباين فيها بين الخالق والمخلوق أبين وأعظم, then the distinction and the difference that exists between the Creator and the creation must be more obvious and a greater difference in meaning. والإيمان بالله, and to believe in Allah Ta'ala, the Most High, على ما وصفنا, in the way that we have described here, يثمر للمؤمنين ثمرات جليلة, it brings about some very fantastic benefits. منها, from them, الأولى, the first benefit of believing in Allah's attributes in the proper way, تحقيق توحيد الله تعالى, that is, that one actualizes the worship of Allah alone, that he singles out Allah Ta'ala with his names and attributes, actualizing that. بِحَيْثُ لَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِغَيْرِهِ رَجَاءً وَلَا خَوْفًا وَلَا يَعْبُدُ غَيْرَهُ. And so he doesn't remain connected to and hoping for others and fearing others. Rather, he does not worship anyone besides Allah. الثانيه, and the second fruit or second benefit, كمال محبة الله تعالى, the completeness of one's love for Allah the Most High, وتعظيمه, and how he honors and extols him in a complete way, بمقتضى أسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العلى, as it relates to what his names require and what his high and lofty attributes denote. الثالثة, the third fruit or the third benefit, تحقيق عبادته بفعل ما أمر به واجتناب ما نهى عنه, that is, that a person then worships him by doing what he orders and by staying away from what he has forbidden, when he believes properly in the names and attributes of Allah Ta'ala, loves him based on them, and connects with Allah Ta'ala, having hope in him and fearing him as a result. And this is what Allah Ta'ala has made easy for us this evening. We thank him for his grace upon us and his many bounties. We ask him to increase us in beneficial knowledge and to protect us from knowledge that doesn't benefit. وصلي اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.